signals nearby. A person living near New York City is going to have a squelch break on that Roxxon 10 times per day that you wish wasn't there. There's a slight way you can get around that. Many of your favorite repeaters, let me drop this. Many of your favorite repeaters, like this one, both this one and the Eastern version of this one on 147.375, they have an output PL frequency. If you program the Roxxon so that it must have the PL for transmit and the PL for receive, I think you'll hear a lot less extraneous signals. Many of us don't go through the extra step of programming the PL on receive, but I think that would give you a 95% solution of undesired signals being listened to. That's a possible solution. Any further questions or comments on all of the above? K2RIW in the TechNet.
KD2CBV comments.
CBV, go right ahead.
Well, I just want to give them the website, but the thing is, if you type the Biofungs and you type what unfortunately is called a real radio, Kenwood THF6A, and a Biofung, a couple of them actually, and the Wosen, same antenna, same location, about 4 miles away from Dick, and none of the Chinese radios would even trip the repeater in Westchester. Same antenna, put it on the THF6A, boom, no problem. Not only that, they didn't know I was on an HT. In terms of performance under extreme conditions, the Chinese radios don't perform. As far as trying to hit something local, they're great. You know, like the man said, if that goes in the water, who cares? Okay, I get it. That's the major difference. But, other than the price, of course, the website for the repeaters is nyrepeaters.com. That's NovemberYankeeRepeaters.com. And there's another one, NewEnglandRepeaters.com. So if you want to find them listed numerically with all the DLs, and it's usually updated every 2 weeks. So just wanted to get that in there. KD2CBB.
Thank you very much. W2NYA with a comment.
NYA recognized. Todd, good information. When it comes to the radio responding to signals that it shouldn't respond to, you live in the Marble Canyons of New York City in Manhattan, so you're in a radio very rich requirement, a very rich environment. So unless you also program the PL on reception, locks up
repeater, timeout.
Roxxon or a Baofeng in your neighborhood is going to be opening up a lot of times you would not like it to. So I'm guessing that you had that problem of it opening up on all the zillions of signals you got in your neighborhood. And I wonder if you've ever had a chance to also program the PL on reception. KD2CBV for that one. K2RIW, go ahead, Todd.
I field program all my radios where possible, and then I back them up with software, but I always believe in field programming. So, now my big problem with them in my area is desensing, intermod. You go into Manhattan, some of them will intermod up the, up the what. The PL tones, I don't think I've ever had an issue with them. We're talking a TYT-TH9 or F9. They don't make that anymore. Baofeng B5, I believe, which is one that they don't make anymore. These are, they're old. And I cannot remember the model of the Wosen. The GT3 seems to be nice. It has a somewhat decent front end, but again, I got the intermod and some desensing, and when there's a heavy load heavy signal coming through. So that's what the major problem is. Whereas the Kenwood, no problem. The Radio Shack HTX202, no problem. I got a couple of others as well. No point going down the list. They're what you call, quote, real, end quote, radios, even though I don't like the term.
Understand, Todd. The other person who's signing in, I think it was blank W-Y-A. Give me your full call and name, sir, and then your question or comment. K2LAW, my name is Dick.
Dick, this is W2NYA, Whiskey 2, November, Yankee Alpha. Name is Pete. I've spoken to you a couple of times. I don't come on very often. One of the things I wanted to say is right now I'm working off an old Ericsson MRK hooked up to the antenna on the roof. And the intermod on this thing is amazing. I don't get the adjacent channel rejection, I should say. I don't get any intermod at all. It, but what I was going to say is everything today is made in China, whether you buy a Yaesu or whether you buy a Kenwood or whether you buy a TYT or a Bofang. I have a TYT, that four-bander thing, in my car that's basically a knockoff of the Yaesu. And it works wonderful, you know. I mean, I don't see any difference. I have a friend that has the Yaesu. I don't see any difference except, you know, the software, the firmware that operates it. The TYT is definitely inferior. But it's not hard to hand flash. And I program it by computer only because it's easy. Use Chirp or, you know, one of those programs, and it works wonderful. But what I was going to say is everything today is made in China as far as the electronics go, and I don't really think there's any way around that. Back to you, Dick, or back to the rotation.
Here we go, Dick. Yaesu, Kenwood, Nikon are made in Japan, not China.
You're assuming that none of the sub-assemblies, integrated circuits or whatever, are made in Japan also. Maybe yes, maybe no. And you can buy what you think is an American-made automobile. But many American-made automobiles contain components that were made in a foreign country. So can you buy a thoroughly American automobile? The answer might be no. And so it's a global economy. It's a mishmash of everything. You can try to buy nothing but American. It's going to be a very difficult effort, I think. Let's see, we've got some comments on that. And by the way, if you buy a Japanese product, is every single component in there made in Japan? Nothing in any other country? Anybody got a comment on that? K2IW
and
TechNet?
And to we go.
K2MIA.
NYA first, do you believe a Japanese-made product, every single component is made in Japan? Go right ahead, Pete.
Absolutely not. My son has a Nissan, and I happen to know for a fact that all of the plastics inside of that car, the interior, the dashboards and everything, I play around with cars an awful lot, and it's all made in Korea, surprisingly enough. Also, my wife just bought a Buick Encore. It's a beautiful little car. You know, it's a Buick. You say, oh my God, it's a Buick, you know, made in America and stuff. Well, the engine and drivetrain is actually made in America, but the body and even many parts of the interior, in fact, on the, disclaimer, it says that 60% of that car is actually made in Korea or China. So, it gives you an idea of what's going on.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
When it comes to the amount of undesired interference from your radios, Pete, you live in Queens, which is radio-wise a pretty rich environment. Do you believe your radios are pretty good at rejecting the signals you don't want to use? And have you had to use PL on reception in order to get that performance? Back to you, Pete, K2IW.
Interesting question. You know what? I've been a ham. I was first licensed in the 70s. My father was a ham from the 30s. In fact, I took his call when he passed away, W2MYA.
Now, I remember it being a lot more crowded. 10 meters. My dad used to do 10 meters in the car, and it was always crowded. And I'm talking about the mid-60s, late-60s. You know, it's funny because now they talk about the cell phone laws and everything. Can't use a cell phone. I remember the guy used to do CW on 40 meters. He had a thing that strapped to his leg, and he used to do CW in the car. Well, he was a World War II. He was a radio operator in Europe on the airplanes. But, I mean, he used to do CW on his leg in a car. I could imagine what they would consider that now. But there's a lot less interference today, I believe, than there was then. Back to you.
As bad as that CW strapped to the leg, the key strapped to the leg, and the guy is tapping out CW while driving, at first it sounds bad. There's two things in that guy's favor. Number one, he's a pretty highly trained operator. He's also a pretty highly trained driver. So he could be flashing his eyes around, having beautiful situation awareness about everything going on around him while he drives. At the same time, he's topping out Morse code. The huge advantage of the Morse code and the ham radio transmission is it is simplex. He is transmitting for a period of time, not receiving. Then he flips over and receives for a period of time. The problem with a cell phone is that the operators are nowhere near as well trained, and they're in a full duplex communication. The person is continuously being interrupted by the other person he's talking to while he's talking. And periodically you'll see somebody driving down the road with a cell phone against their ear. Let me drop it. And you can tell they're screaming into the phone, they're waving their hands in the air, they're having an argument because it's full duplex. The person that they're talking to is not listening, and he's not listening to the person that they're trying to talk to. And so the amount of mental acuity required to carry on a coherent duplex operation takes a lot more brain power and is capable of a lot more arguments. You can very easily end up with an argument with the person, whereas if it was a simplex communication for a period of time, you're doing nothing but talking, and the person on the other end has no choice but to do nothing but listening. So it's a hell of a lot less argumentative. So that ham radio operation can be tremendously safer, in my opinion. I admit not everybody's going to agree with me on that one. But Rich has got some opinions on all of the above. N2EO, K2RIW. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick, N2EO. Well, look, I'm not against the world economy. I realize things are made elsewhere. I'm just singling out China because of a military threat to us. I really believe that the developing hypersonic airplanes that can fire missiles at us or anybody, they're developing large aircraft carriers, and, you know, like I said before, we sold a lot of stuff to Japan prior to World War II, and they gave it back to us on December 7th. So, you know, somebody or a country that's not, doesn't listen to history is guaranteed to make the same mistake over. That's all I'm saying, Dick.
Okay, I sense your feeling on the subject of Japan, on the subject of China. For a whole lot of years, we also had a Cold War between us and Russia. Should we also attempt to not use Russian-made equipment, Rich? N2EO, K2RIW?
Well, I don't believe that. Look, the Soviet Union fell apart. You've got the Russian Republic. You've got the Ukraine. So they fell apart. They're a paper tiger now. Thank you to Ronald Reagan.
I know John probably has some opinions on all of the above. KC2WGB. What's your feeling, John? I think you're an American automobile buyer. I don't think you buy foreign-made automobiles, but there I'm not sure. But do you feel uncomfortable with the fact that people are buying these inexpensive Chinese radios? Do you attempt to buy only things that are made by specific countries? How do you feel on this one, John? Lots of people like listening to you, and they'd like to hear your opinions, I think. KC2WGB, K2RIW in the TechNet.
KC2 52 WGB. I don't know about my opinions, but look, it is a world economy, yes. You cannot buy anything. If you want to look at it, what do you think, the Japanese are idiots? Where do you think they're getting their stuff built? They're farming it out, just like we do. They go to the cheapest place. That's bottom line, guys, work that way. That's what you have to understand about businessmen. They're going to go where the bottom line is going to be increased. So if Japan can have somebody subcontract for them, they're going to do it. So whether you buy from Japan or anywhere else, you don't know where it's coming from. Whether it's chips or sub-assemblies or the entire unit, they stick a label on it. So I think that's all just wishful thinking. Yeah, it would be nice if we could stifle countries that don't agree with us or that are doing terrible things, close them down where they can't operate, almost choke them. Like North Korea, they're suffering tremendously. Those poor people that are in North Korea are destitute, and the government doesn't care, but they're still building missiles. And as far as worrying about what's going to be returned to us, like the Second Avenue subway coming back in December 7th, you don't have to worry about that. First of all, there's going to be no more carriers built. I think the Reagan class is the last one. They're a waste of time, very expensive, and I think we've seen the last of them. They'll phase them out eventually. Carriers are over. In my opinion, and according to what I hear from the government reports, there won't be any more of those. So I think we're worrying much about nothing. You know, it's not an ideal world, and we have to be able to function and do what we do best. And do that, and don't expect anything more, and I think we'll be all right. Back to you, Dick. KC2, WGB.
Yeah, we do have to roll with the times, so to speak. There were a whole lot of blacksmiths shoeing horses in 1900. Except for a particular a small number of riding academies, not very many blacksmiths are required anymore. There's a lot of occupations that were very prevalent in the United States in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and those occupations essentially don't exist anymore. However, we still have the ability to educate our public and do high technology jobs, writing fancy pieces of computer programs, designing fancy computers, and designing very many functions that with our cell phones, 7.5 billion cell phones in the world. There are more cell. We're approaching the point right now where there are more cell phones than there are people on planet Earth. You've heard me say also, many people are saying the fact that there are more human beings on planet Earth that have access to a cell phone than have access to a working toilet. To some degree, you could say in some of those populations, the cell phone is more important than a toilet. Let me drop. And you Google the word cell phone. That arguably, as a product, is the most reproduced piece of electronics in the history of mankind. Not any one brand name, but the product itself. And very few people know who invented the cell phone. Marty Cooper of Motorola gets a lot of credit. For a while, he was saying he invented the cell phone. But no, he made the first cell phone call on a Motorola product. But Bell Labs did most of that work, and I was talking to at least one of those scientists, Dr. Reed Fisher, W2CQH, who's still alive today. He was one of the major developers, and there were at least three or four more. I was talking to him on almost a daily basis on 432 way back in 1968 while he was doing that work. He just barely mentioned it to me. I met him face-to-face at a place where we were buying an inexpensive television transmitter. We were buying an inexpensive television transmitter that was being sold surplus in Brooklyn. Let me drop it. And I met him face-to-face in 1969 or 1970, I think it was, and he was describing the cell phone system that he and his fellow engineers at Bell Labs were developing. The fact that he had already visited Radio Row in Japan to start negotiating who was going to start building the actual hardware for the very first cell phones. That was 1970. So, boy, did that product turn into something. And now, people are so addicted to their cell phone. Wow. On multiple occasions, I've seen high school kids sitting on the corner, on the stoop, waiting for the bus to arrive. Three children, three later teenagers, side by side, texting to each other, because they like the text communication technique better than talking to each other verbally, even though they're side by side. They're texting each other and making jokes and laughing back and forth about what they're sending to each other. My goodness, is that a dependence? Let me drop it. And I tried talking to my neighbor once, knocked on his door, and tried giving him a message. And as soon as he opened the door, his cell phone went off. He looked at the cell phone and said, I'll answer this person later. And 30 seconds later, the wired phone in the house was ringing. His wife was calling him on the wired phone because he wouldn't answer the cell phone. She couldn't tolerate the fact that she didn't get an immediate answer. My goodness, are we dependent on our chunks of electronics? And does it interrupt our lives? So radio is good. As a safety device, it's fantastic. But it can be carried a little bit far. I mean, when people are playing these games, where this Pokemon-type game and whatever, it seems a little bit excessive. But cell phones while you drive, I'm convinced, are quite dangerous with 90% of the population. Let me drop it. And even if it's a hands-free cell phone, it helps a little bit. But the fact that it's a full duplex communication, and a certain percentage of those conversations you're going to have on your cell phone while you're driving, you're going to be arguing with somebody. You're going to be waving your hands in the air and shouting at them. If it was real simplex, like ham radio, where you talk for a while and then stop talking and listen for a while, that's a hell of a lot safer than full duplex communication with a cell phone is. You take the combination of rather yucky audio, latency, time delay between transmit and receive, people arguing with you, and you're trying to figure out what's going on while you're driving and not pay attention to the driving. A significant percentage of automobile accidents today are happening where the cell phone is a contributing factor. Maybe even on railroad train accidents and aircraft accidents. Not so much aircraft, but railroad train accidents, occasionally a cell phone related. Certainly a significant number of automobile accidents are cell phone related. And law enforcement is trying to correct that, and my goodness, is that a difficult one. I think almost any officer driving down any highway, almost every single mile, he's going to see somebody on a cell phone that shouldn't be doing it. Anybody have any comments on all of the above? K2RIW on the TechNet.
Citation.
Okay, that was a perfect double. Try again, you guys.
Into you.
Okay, yeah. Rich and Joe in that. Rich and Pete in that order. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick. You know, there's a problem here. That the police are not well educated on what ham radio is. They mistake it for a cell phone. And they don't know that we have an exemption. You know, Barry, M2MB, I was talking to him on the radio maybe a couple of weeks ago, and a police car paced him and pulled him over, and the guy apparently had some knowledge, which is a good thing for Barry. He showed him the microphone and told him what it was, and he told Barry, have a good day. So a lot of officers will give you a ticket thinking it's a cell phone. They have to be better educated, Dick. What do you think?
Education is part of it there, Rich, but there's another problem here. Essentially, 99% of the population has a cell phone. Only one human being in 500 in the general population is a ham radio operator. We talk to hams every single day. We think everybody's hams. 0.2% of the population of ham radio operators. We are the oddballs. We are the very strange ones. It's hard for us to admit that we are the strange ones. So you have to have some understanding for why law enforcement people don't have much knowledge about us. And so they don't have much knowledge. Their superiors don't have much knowledge. Therefore, it's not being passed on to them, if you know what I mean. Yes, we got to work on that. Thank goodness Barry is a very non-argumentative person. So when a policeman pulls him over, he's very unlikely to get into an argument. He's going to very calmly explain what he was doing and why it's legal and that it can be proven. Was that you, John, trying to say? I was about to turn it over to Pete. John, were you trying to say something?
A real quick commenting.
Go ahead, John.
We have to remember, when the police officer usually issues that summons, it's for distracted driving. Whether you're operating a calculator or coffee cup or whatever it is that's distracting, that's what the summons is. So, yeah, there should be an exception for hams, but right now that's not clear. But that's where a lot of that mishmash comes from. It has nothing to do with the level of our education in the police department. These guys are bright. They're just not instructed properly on that particular issue, and that could be improved. Back to you, Dick. KC2WGB.
That's exactly how I feel. The police are intelligent. They just got to be educated. Here I am, Dick M2EO.
His IQ is less than 60.
It may not be true in New York City, but there are certain counties where there are specific rules in favor of ham radio, and it's sort of an exception, but it's not universal. Pete, we've been keeping you waiting a long time. W2NYA, K2RIWP.
Not a problem. Thanks, Dick. One thing I was going to say was, and I feel like a one-trick pony. I keep going back to my elders or my Elmers or whatever. But my Uncle Al was a ham operator also. And one thing I remember was, he was in World War II, but he got his belly button shot off in Iwo Jima. He's actually on Iwo Jima. And I remember in the 90s, he was already quite old, but he bought himself a brand new Honda. And I asked him, I says, you got seriously wounded in the Pacific. How could you go out and buy a Honda? He looked at me and he says, the Japanese haven't been our enemy in many, many years. He says, I fought that war so I can go out and buy a Honda. It's you idiots driving around in 10-cylinder Fords and sending all your gas money over to the Middle East so they could send it back to us as far as terrorists go and everything else. He goes,
repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
We took care of that. And, after thinking about it for a while, I was like, the guy's absolutely right. And as far as it goes, I like to vote with my pocketbook also. One of the things I will not do is I will not buy anything at Walmart because I don't like the way their corporate system works. They pay their people just enough to keep them off of welfare, but they're all on the public dole as far as all of their medical and everything else. So the taxpayer is actually paying for most of the workers' comp and medicals for all of those people that work in Walmart. And for that reason, I have never, nor has my wife or, my family bought anything at Walmart. I just feel it's the evil empire. And by the way, it is the second largest employer in the United States, other than the United States itself, the government. And I think that's an absolute crime that they pay nothing to their employees, and the public actually pays their medical and everything. And I have plenty more to say on this subject, but I'd like I don't want to tie up the band. So back to you.
In the case of Walmart paying its lower-paid employees so little, it's not completely their fault. They're doing that to keep their stockholders happy, to make the profit of the company the best. The profit of the company is the best, therefore the prices are the cheapest, and a hell of a lot of people go there. $480 billion a year is the cash flow through the Walmart Corporation. Every $10 of selectable money spent in the United States, $1 of it flows through Walmart. The discretionary money. Every $10 of discretionary money spent in the United States, $1 of it flows through Walmart. The crazy rules that we have in the United States, that we allow the minimum wage to be at a value that if a person works a 40-hour week at the minimum wage, he is below the poverty level. The fact that we've set a minimum wage that low is creating that problem. Walmart did not create that crazy rule. We've got to change that. And there are people who don't want to change it. Let me drop it. There's a great big group of people out there who think that leaving it that way is the best way to go. I don't think so. The combination of people working at the minimum wage, working as hard as they can, 40-hour week, and then below the poverty level. How the heck do we allow that? And Warren Buffett is saying, our tax rules are so crazy that my secretary pays more in dollars in taxes than I do, and he's a multi-billion dollar worth person. The tax rules are a little bit upside down, and the minimum wage really looks wrong to me. And those are people who will argue with me on that one. And trickle-down economics, there are people who really like it. I don't. I don't think trickle-down economics works. Beautiful Reagan technique, so to speak. Let me drop. You lower the tax to the guy who's at the top 1%, and you think he's going to buy more houses and boats and cars, and therefore everybody below him is going to be working more. I don't think so. By the time he gets to that level, he's got as many cars as he wants, houses that he wants, boats that he wants. He's going to take that extra money that he saves and put it in a foreign account so he pays the least amount of taxes on it. You lose twice. You give him more money by lowering his taxes. He collects more money and puts it on a foreign shore in a foreign bank. He doesn't buy more houses. He's already got as many as he can buy. You say that to a certain group of people, they strongly disagree. There's a group of people in the United States who are positive that trickle-down economics works, even though there's a lot of evidence saying it doesn't work. If you get a hold of a book called The Runaway Inequality, rather well written by a very good economist, and you'll be less slightly horrified when you read this rather well-respected book that was printed, I think, this year. I know we're pretty far off of ham radio, though. We ham radio operators, we buy chunks of electronics, and we try to buy it at a price that we like. A certain percentage of us are going to buy Chinese radios. Let me drop this. Regardless of our ethics, we're going to buy Chinese radios because the performance per dollar is good enough. You're not expecting a Cadillac when you buy when you pay a Volkswagen price. You're not going to get Cadillac performance. And so the ones that are us that are pretty well off, they're going to do both. They're going to have a good piece of radio equipment that they treat with tender loving care, and a very inexpensive one they use in high-risk situations, like we're on a boat and it's going to get salt water in it, might be dropped over the side, to use the inexpensive one in that location. We have the ability to do both. I hope anybody wants to make a comment on all this crazy stuff. Give me your call letters right now. KQRIW and the TechNet.
And to
EOTech.
Go ahead, Pete. I'm rich in that order. Excuse me. You got it, Pete.
Deck at W2MYA for identification. Yeah, one of the things, you know, the Chinese, we haven't imported jobs as much as we have contaminants. The Chinese pharma, basically what they did was they contaminated his land so badly that everything he grows is basically poison. So this whole province where in the 70s Chrysler set up, and this is true, Chrysler set up a place where they chromed all of their bumpers, and the entire population of this province has some kind of contaminants where their liver and their kidneys are in bad shape, and the people, you know, the whole province, I mean, like, millions of people, and they tried to sue, and naturally Chrysler is protected because they were going through a Chinese company, so they can't be sued, the Chinese government can't be sued, the company can't be sued, so these people are basically out of luck. So basically what they did was they made it so it was very easy for these people to get visas to come over to the United States. So,
repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
Late 70s, we now pay for it, you know, a little bit cheaper than, we now pay for it in medical, you know, dialysis and kidney work and everything else, for these people that are coming over here in droves because the Chinese government can't treat them because it's too expensive. And, you know what? Yeah, I buy a lot of Chinese things, but I will not buy any kind of food products that are made in China. And believe me, it's hard to find garlic. Look at your garlic. It's very hard to find garlic not grown in China, which to me is unbelievable. Over to you, Rich.
Yeah, so we're in the United States, through our foreign manufacturer, to lower the price of the components that we need, have contaminated various chunks of the property. We've stopped making high-power vacuum tubes in a number of places in the United States. Like Hexel used to be, I think Amperex used some very exotic chemistry to make the cathodes of vacuum tubes and contaminated the local soil. And now, I can't think of the name of the company in where we buy our high-power tubes in Europe. It'll come to me in a minute. We also had the Grumman Aircraft putting a lot of carbon tetrachloride in the soil in Hicksville, and Bethpage in Hicksville, and now it's making a great big plume of a contaminated water in those town areas. And it's, you've seen a number of articles on Newsday where we're going through remedial action to try to correct that, and it's going to take lots of years and lots of millions of dollars. It was legal in that time to dump chemistry. We used to make the mistake of believing. Let me drop this.
You got GE with the PPCs, PCBs.
Another good example, John. We used to make the mistake of thinking the Earth is so big that even if we contaminate an area, that it would be very temporary contamination, that the Earth would eventually dissolve it all, dissipate it all, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, there are certain kinds of contamination that are very long-lived. Carbon tetrachloride is one of them. PCBs is another one. They last forever. Chlorofluorocarbons getting into the atmosphere from freon-like substances, freon for air conditioners or for cleaning fluids, and it contaminates the atmosphere and gets rid of the ozone level. Very long-lived. And so we're slowly realizing things and correcting it downrange. But we're paying the price. We're getting smarter as time goes on. Too bad we couldn't get smarter sooner. What else is new? N2EO, K2RIW, go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick. You know, I've heard this about Walmart. I feel guilty because I buy a lot of stuff from Walmart. They got screwdrivers, all kinds of tools, food, dog food. They got everything there. It's amazing. The thing is, you know, my situation, it's hard for me to get out in a wheelchair. I guess most people know I'm an amputee. So, I do a lot of shopping online. I guess you call that e-commerce. Does anybody have an alternative to Walmart that has the same amount of stuff? God, Dick.
That's going to be an extremely tough one, Rich. Walmart is into everything. I used to have a very strong opinion against Walmart, somewhat like some of the other people here. The thing I used to not like about Walmart is that they move into a town. They have a great big facility with so many products at such low prices that a huge number of mom and pop hardware stores and similar things like that in the community are going to dry up and go away. So all the mom-and-pop stores that are in the community for generations are going to die because the town fathers allowed a Walmart to move into that town. And there are some towns that have managed to keep Walmart out to make sure they protect their mom-and-pop organizations. That used to bother me a lot. And there's a couple of other things they did that bothered me. But I ran into a problem recently, similar to what Rich is discussing, a product I couldn't buy anywhere else that I needed. Let me drop it. A significant percentage of senior citizens have a strong love of a kind of frame on their eyeglasses that's usually called the, why can't I think of it, aviator style. Aviator style glasses that have a rather large frame. A certain percentage of senior citizens, I'm one of them, that loves that frame. And these so-called designer frames with tiny little chunks of glass, I really don't like them. I want to be able to swish my eyes around, left, right, up and down, and still be inside of the glass of my glasses. I don't want to be looking over the tops and bottoms, and I don't like the looks of these designer things. There are certain people who like them. So I want to buy aviator-style glasses. Almost all the glasser frame suppliers have stopped supplying aviator-style. The last one I could find 5 years ago in Huntington, I think it was Wise Eyes, even they decide to drop it. And there's another thing they've dropped. I want the glass in my glasses to be real glass, not plastic, because the fluids that come out of my eyes and get onto the glass fog my glasses, and I have to clean my glasses 10 times a day. If they're made out of real glass, I can wipe them with any old piece of paper, cloth, or whatever, and I don't get scratches. And I can keep those glasses for a long, many years if I want to. If they're plastic, I would be scratching them like crazy. So the combination of real glass and aviator-style frames, I can no longer buy either of those in 98% of all the stores I know about. Let me drop. I walk into Walmart. Aviator-style glasses. There were 8 different styles on the wall. And I asked them, can you make my frame, my glasses, out of real glass? I said, yeah, it's going to cost you an extra couple of bucks, but we can do that. They supply me a product I can't buy anywhere else, and it's a product that I want. People just love plastic because they think that it's not going to fracture when something hits it. The glass in there is so darn strong, the chances of you being hit in the glass and it fracturing and damaging your eye, it's a very low probability. Also, the plastic that they use is lower in density, therefore they need more of it to get the same amount of correction. Are they really that much lighter? I doubt it. If the nose pads are built correctly, the fraction of an ounce of more weight, maybe you get with my great big frames and my great big chunks of glass, that's a minor difficulty. And my nose easily builds up to that. So Walmart satisfies that product requirement for me. And all of a sudden, my hate of Walmart has decreased a little bit. And it's not quite their fault that their lowest paid employees are below the poverty level. They did not cause that. Our political people caused that. And there's a certain group of politicians who believe we should have a minimum wage that's below the poverty level. How in the world can we justify that? But there are people who think that that's the way it should be. I disagree with them. Anybody with any comments on all of the above, go right ahead. K2RIW in the TechNet.
2MIA.
KC2WGB.
Pete and John in that order. Pete, make sure you wait for the beeps. Otherwise, you keep keep timing it out. You got to beep.
I'll go first. I want to hear what he's got to say.
Okay, yep. Pete, whoever goes next, make sure you wait for the beeps.
Beep. Okay, Dick. KC2WGB. Well, it's a little change of subject, but if you really want to learn a lot about politics and a lot about how this nation works, do a little history research on the wars that happened in the world, because we don't understand or we're not paying attention to what goes on. You could start with wars like the Franco-Prussian War if you want, a very simple war, very few people involved. You can read that history. But being an American, you should really study the Civil War. Wow, that is politics, it's war, it's unconscionable things that were done. Just understanding that history alone will open up your eyes to the way the politics works then and still to this day. Very revealing when you read about wars in depth. And it doesn't matter which one, Boer War, we're to pick one, but the Americans should really study the Civil War. A lot of interest there. Most people don't even know what the hell that war was about. You know, they think it was the black and white stuff, which it wasn't. It had nothing to do with that. Back to you, Dick. KC2WGB.
When it comes to major wars the United States has fought in all of its history, you've come up with a list of about 30 wars. Roughly 30 wars have been fought by the United States. One of those wars is called the Civil War. You add up all the people, Americans, that have died in the First World War, the Second World War, the War of 1812. You add up all those wars. The total number of people who have died in the Civil War is greater. Something like 260,000 Americans died in the Civil War.
600,000, Dick.
You're right. 650,000, I think, is the number usually used. 650,000 Americans. More died in that war than all other wars combined. To which you'd say to yourself, boy, if you wasted that much American blood fighting that war, that must have been a really wicked enemy. Who the hell was that? It was us fighting us. Craziness. The politics by which we got into that one, I hope we've corrected a lot of politics so we can't possibly do that again. That's an awful lot of bloodshed. And to have people in the Gettysburg War, you know, you get groups of people on each side lining up and just sitting there and firing at each other. Wild. And supposedly, at the end of that couple of days at Gettysburg, there were so many bodies on the ground, you could walk across this couple of hundred acre field. In theory, you could walk across the field without ever touching the ground. Why in the world did anybody with any brains allow that to happen? I hope we never do that one again. I think it was you, Pete, that wanted to go next. W2NYA, KQRIW, wait for the beeps.
W2NYA. Yeah, no, I agree. The Civil War was fought over economics. Basically, the South had slavery, and North had where they paid like a penny an hour. So, you know, I mean, I don't see what the hell the difference was between paying somebody a penny an hour and making them live in tenements and slums. And, I mean, let's face it, you know, New York in the 1840s, 1850s, I mean, that spot downtown called, now it's called Chinatown, but it used to be Five Corners. The death toll over there from disease and everything else was unbelievable. You know, in a lot of cases, what went on over here, what we did to our own citizens in New York was a travesty. But that's the way it went back then, you know. And, you know, I guess, you know, nobody learned from history because they don't teach us that. They teach you one version of it, but they don't teach you, you know, the real factors that were involved in what went on. But as far as Walmart goes, I don't hate them. I just don't want to give them any of my money, and I have yet to find anything that I couldn't buy somewhere else. But and as far as Richie goes, what I wanted to say was I wouldn't buy dog food there because I honestly believe that 100% of everything that they sell comes from China. And, you know, if they're going to feed contaminated food to humans, I can't even imagine what they're going to sell to dogs, to feed dogs. And like I said, one of the big things to watch out for is garlic. The Chinese garlic is, it's poison. And there's a lot of fruits and vegetables and other things. And I realize, you know, you're in a different situation.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
You know, at least this time of the year, you should look into locally grown vegetables. And, you know, it's funny because I buy garlic from Mexico, and they probably use human fecal matter as fertilizer. But I'd still rather have that than what they're using in China. Sorry to put it that way, but back to the rotation. WS2N.
Paul recognized, but I'm going to make a quick break first to John. John, you traveled to Mexico a number of times. Were you able to buy garlic there if you wanted to? Over to you, John, KC2WGB, K2IW.
Oh, absolutely, Dick. They use a lot of garlic in Mexico, and they have both the elephant garlic and the regular garlic like the Italians use, and it's an excellent product. What they use for fertilizer, I'm not sure. They might use human waste, but I don't believe so. I know they use a lot of cattle waste, though.
Yeah, John has traveled to Mexico a lot more often than many other people that I know. And, okay, Paul, WS2N, tell us your comment on all of the above. You got a ball.
I had a similar problem with glasses. The place I went to, they really didn't want to give me what I wanted. They want to force the progressive lenses, you know, that a lot of people get. I wanted regular trifocals, you know. Oh, you could have bifocals. No, I want trifocals. And I know you can get them. Sure enough, Walmart has them. And different sizes, whatever size you want. You know, you could get the big glass like you have or the smaller ones. But no problem. So that was pretty good. And as far as their working situation, well, people need to eventually unionize, and that will eventually help their wages. When the Walmarts were built around the country, they were built generally non-union in a lot of locations, but when they get to Long Island, they were built union. So I have no problem with that. Back to you, Dick.
And to me, I'm...
And if you grace of progressive glasses, the advantage of that as you look down, you're close focused, and as you look up, you're far focused, and the progressive lens is a gradual change in focus versus elevation angle. That's good. However, if you've got any astigmatism, they can't simultaneously give you the amount of astigmatism correction and the variable focus correction, the progressive focus simultaneously. So you end up with a kind of tunnel vision if you've got astigmatism with progressives. And the progressive lenses, quite a few people buy progressive lenses and they end up spending $600 and $700 for a set of glasses. I can buy bifocals made out of real glass with the frame that I want, and I think it cost me $130 at Walmart. And so these progressive lenses, in many cases, they're extremely expensive and don't really solve the problem from my point of view. There are people who like them. N2EO, K2LIW, wait till the beeps and you got it, Rich.
Okay, so getting back to dog food and Walmart, she loves gravy train. That's what I order, a big bag of gravy train. Do they have a special version for Walmart? I hope not.
Okay, you're buying a known brand, and I think you've bypassed the problem, so to speak. And there are some standards.
Not true, Dick.
Okay, so you're telling me a known brand really has different dash numbers depending on who builds it for you? Give us some words on that one, John. Over to you, John.
82 CBV Comedy. Any of the large big box stores, they're such large purchases, they will make the derivative products for that store. They'll change the mixture, the blend, the content, the purveyor, anything they want. That's how big they are. They're called derivative models. They do it all the time.
Yeah, before we go over to Todd, is there a way you can protect yourself from that, John? Is there a dash number? Is there a place of manufacture on the package? Is there a way you can find out the origin of the thing that you're buying and whether or not you're getting what you want? And if you're not getting what you want, are they at least temporarily violating FDA laws? How does that happen, John? Over to you.
Well, they may be violating some laws, but I'm not aware of any. Here's the thing. If you went to a large manufacturer like Delta Faucets or Moen Faucets, things like that, I think I've discussed this with you before. You go to Home Depot, you buy that Moen Faucet, it looks identical. And you look at it and you go, all right, it's $39. You go to the plumbing supply store and it's $105. And you say, wait a minute, what's the difference? Well, take the two of them and put them next to each other. You'll find out that all that chrome is plastic, where when you look at the actual plumbing supply store, is selling you a better, a much better made material, much rugged. But it looks identical. The model number may have a different dash number or something, but you have to be a very astute purchaser to know the difference. You must pay attention. But that's how derivatives work. They do the same thing for home entertainment products. A manufacturer, you take like Zenith when they were in their heyday, they would make a model for a big box store. At that time, maybe not a big box store, but somebody who had a lot of exposure. Maybe they had 10 stores. They would make models just for them. Now, sometimes they didn't change anything, just changed the model number. That was so you couldn't shop it. So, you got to really be sharp, but it's out there.
So we got to spend some time making sure that we're buying the right thing. But Todd has already solved this problem. He's going to tell us about it. KD2CBV, K2IW, go ahead, Todd.
Okay, thanks. I got to run down the list. I heard from a reliable source that Walmart employees are given classes in how to fill out forms for public assistance. Okay, that's one thing. Second thing, regarding the dog food issue, I think it was about 7 years ago there was a recall of dog food that was poisoned. I do not know if that dog food came from China, however, but there was
news. First thing, if you buy orange juice as an example, buy it made with 100% Florida oranges. Why? Because if not, I think Tropicana uses oranges from all over the place. A higher count of pesticides show up because they don't have the laws. And the last thing, drop. All these big box stores, if you buy an Amana refrigerator freezer from, say, Home Depot or Walmart, Amana won't even service it because it's not their Amana. Toro lawnmowers, you gotta go to Home Depot, sorry, that's where you bought it, they handle it, not us. They evidently license the name and have them made elsewhere. I don't know how that works, I don't know. So just because you're buying it and it has that brand name on it, that doesn't mean that company will stand behind it. They won't, because you bought it at Walmart. You bought it at Home Depot. And that is a totally different model, like what John said about the mowing faucet. If you're buying inferior products, and unfortunately, I don't know how to find out. If you go look at one, call up the company and ask them, do you make this model? I guess that's the only kind of protection you really have. I don't really know what to tell you on that one, but yes, it's quite prevalent out there. KD2 is CBB. Correction.
Yeah, thank you for that information, Todd. Go ahead, John.
Okay, if you buy a major name, a major label, that company is responsible for the warranty period. Now, maybe they don't want to service it after the warranty period is up, but they have to service it while it's under the warranty period. That is absolutely nonsense. Never hold up, not in New York anyway.
It's not to argue. I know three people who told me they've had that firsthand experience. One with an Amano and two with Toro. So I don't agree with it, and I believe it's nonsense, but that name is on there. I don't know. But I know two people told me about the Toro lawnmowers they bought at Home Depot. Somebody else told me the Amana, but I forgot where the heck they got it.
And here we go.
Yeah, we've used up our time. The machine is normally turned off at midnight, so I'm going to sign us out officially. And then if we suddenly get cut off rapidly after that, it's our own darn fault. You listen to TechNet number 1615 of the series, and I thought it was space report number 214. Maybe it was 215. Anyhow, we'll be back next week. We always say that the TechNet is consisting of subjects of interest to ham radio operators. Now, tonight we got into a lot of cabbages and kings, but it's a group of ham radio operators interested in these subjects. Slightly off to one side of ham radio, but we're students of the United States, and we got lots of opinions on politics and things that we buy. Bye-bye, you all. Be back next week. And John, I've got a question for you before we get cut off, and that is the one-knob faucet made by Moen is in my shower and in my sink in the bathroom. They both were installed 25 or so years ago, maybe 30 years ago. Let me drop it. And the plastic knob on both of those has been falling apart, and I've been gluing it back together all these years. And when I take that exact knob with me, and I go to Home Depot and I see zillions of plastic knobs replacements, Moen brand name and whatever, I can't find that exact knob that is proper for the faucet on my bathroom and the faucet on the bathroom sink and the bathroom shower. Slightly different knobs, but both Moen brand name. Do you know of a solution by which I can get the right knob? And I tried buying what I thought was a close substitute at Walmart, but no, they don't mate, no matter how hard I try. KC2WGB, maybe you've got a solution for me. K2RIW. Go ahead, John.
KC2WGB. Absolutely, Dick. First of all, Moen products are lifetime guarantee. I will email you their phone number. All you have to do is in the front of the device on the escutcheon, you will have a number. That's all you need is that number. It's free shipping. You just thought they are fantastic. I have about